I am Brian Blessed, the voice of TomTom. You have arrived at the T3 podcast. Congratulations.
Hello. And welcome to the T3 podcast. I've been usurped.
Yeah, that was Brian Blessed broadcasting from another galaxy.
From inside his own brain.
That's just arrived from a radio signal from Uranus.
Well, anyway, yes, welcome to the T3 podcast. As good today as it will ever be. So let's just get on with it, shall we? Coming up on this week's show, the future of gaming. We've got it all wrapped up with the PSP 2 and Wii 2 both looming on the horizon. It's Beatlemania online as iTunes finally woos the Fab Four. Kinect smashes the million mark. Order now if you want one for Christmas. And apps. Don't you just love them? We've got the absolute best iPhone games you seriously must own. It's the law. And joining me to enforce this martial system, it's the juvenile Adam Bunker and the man that men stare at when they think no one else can see them. It's T3's Mr. Duncan Bell. Welcome.
Hello.
Juvenile.
That was good. So Brian Blessed popped into the office this week.
Yeah, popped into the office. Why didn't he pop into the studio so we might actually get him in some conceivable quality?
He's a very busy man.
Because we're really unbelievably stupid and we don't think of these things until after the event. Because, I mean, you know, because we talked about it and it was like, it was just on a dictaphone. And we all talked about it and we're like, yeah, it'll be great. And then it didn't occur to any of us, oh, hang on, dictaphone, not amazing quality.
As far as there's a dictaphone in existence that can kind of handle that man's voice.
Well, that's it. As soon as he turns it up to 11, of course, you get distortion.
He could have blown the mics in here, couldn't he?
Yeah, I think Luke's eardrums popped, as he was saying.
Would have been dangerous.
But then I think what I thought was, because obviously here at T3 HQ, we've got such unbelievably high quality sound processing equipment. I assumed Liam, the producer engineer, would be able to magically make it sound like
through some sort of NASA computer.
Yeah, it would come out sounding like a sort of Pink Floyd album, but sadly not.
Oh well,
it seems. Oh well,
We should auto tune him. We could have.
It sounded like he was auto tuned on the end there.
We could have him like as a theme tune.
Apparently, he does that. That's not just his little joke for us.
His Tarzan thing is his new thing.
Yeah, well, on TomTom, because he's, as he said quite loudly, he's the voice of TomTom. Apparently, when you arrive, he does that Tarzan yodel every time. I don't know. That many people would be able to put up with that
good
for that start's long.
Great.
There's a video to go along with him being the voice of TomTom, and he actually says the phrase "Gordon's arrived."
Gordon's arrived.
Yeah, which is brilliant.
Fantastic.
I've got an Irish.
Dive! If you're going down
Agent
a hill.
Ajax!
I've got a very softly spoken Irish woman on my TomTom because the English one sounded a bit.
English Jane.
Rubbish.
I like English Jane.
So I've got the Irish woman, but she's like, go, you know, bear down. And I'm like,
what?
If you don't mind.
Take the next left. it's very softly spoken.
I always like the Australian ones because it sounds like they're asking you a question as to whether you should be turning left or right or whatever.
Upturn of the tone at the end there.
With the upwards inflection.
Anyway, Doug, it's been 7 days and that can take a toil on a man.
I know. So ask Craig David.
What would you like to lie on the couch and tell us about this week?
Well, I'll tell you what I'd like to lie on the couch and tell you about this week, Dan. Mm-hmm. I might have mentioned this before, actually, because it's just one of these things that annoys me all the time. Like all old people,
it's not your Apple time machine again, is it?
Yeah. No, it's not.
Hey.
No. I've noticed this because I look at the internet occasionally, and sometimes on internet websites, they'll have, comment sections underneath. Mm. I just want to explain something to people who leave comments on tech blog sites in particular. We don't get it so much because I guess T3.com in a way is not all that so much about expressing opinion or whatever. But anyway, we do still get it to an extent. But the number of people who leave comments on, for instance, Gizmodo, Engadget, Gizmodo in particular, actually, because obviously the whole point of that is it's quite an opinionated site. They leave things saying, this is biased and opinionated and that's not good journalism.
Wait.
And it's like,
we had a tweet this week.
Yeah.
Saying we were biased against Apple. Towards Apple.
We also get tweets saying we're biased against Apple as well. But no, just to pick up people who think that, on three points, if it's a review, that isn't really journalism anyway, so the question of it being good or bad journalism, I mean, there. Secondly, of course reviews are meant to include opinions. That's why the reviews and not press releases. And thirdly, I don't even know what biased means in this. Unless somebody's literally on the payroll of a company and so deliberately slags off rival products or says, you know, if a product is terrible, they'll say it's good.
Until Apple starts, you know, leaving little Moses baskets with iPads and things on my doorstep and perhaps, you know, some tasteful flowers, I'm not going to be biased.
I know. It's like, I suppose we're biased towards certain Apple products in as much as they're good. I guess we're biased towards, you know, things that are good. But then we're also biased towards good products made by other companies. So it's like...
It's kind of weird what the accusational thing. What is the reason that people think we are biased towards these companies? Like, what...
Well, you, Mr. Bunker, could be a closet fanboy.
Fanboy. That's another expression I hate. Yeah, no, I think because some people, I think, actually do think the whole thing is a massive conspiracy. And all the products that Apple or whoever, I mean, Apple is always the main example because it's the company that polarizes above all others. But, you know, whatever company, it's all a massive conspiracy. And in fact, these products are no good. And we're just saying they're good because we're mad or we're in the pay of these people or, you know, we've been brainwashed. Yeah.
I go with the mad one. That's not fun. Anyway.
But yeah, no, it's just the number of times it comes up and then just bugs me, man.
Okay. All right, then. Well, you've put them to one side now.
So what I'm saying to everybody in the world is stop doing that. Yeah. Basically, stop it.
Excellent. Well, on to our top story. And if there's one thing for certain, it's that the next generation of gaming gear coming our way will have lots of twos in it. This week, a PSP2 developer's kit was spotted and Nintendo made some murmurings about a Wii 2.
Well, we did.
Yeah, well, okay, but they
did Nintendo as well.
They prompted us to.
Oh, okay, sorry, I apologise.
They really
I
thought did. We'd,
okay.
Yes, but not till you've bought a few more Wii ones. Yes. Apparently, yeah. So let's.
They've got a big warehouse full of them.
They need to shift them. Let's start by tearing open this this PSP 2 dev kit. Mm. So we've got an HD screen. Nice. A pair of thumbsticks, which was missing off the PSP Go.
Oh, yes, there's only one.
Yeah.
Oh, no, was there a thumbstick at all on the PSP Go? There's a thumbstick on the PSP, obviously.
Yeah. Well, there we go. So now we've got a pair.
Yeah, there's one, yeah.
Dual cameras, which is coming kind of standard, yeah. A rear trackpad.
Hey!
Isn't this...
It's my rear keyboard idea.
This is sort of venturing towards Duncan Bell's patented... rear keyboard.
Good, not before time.
Okay.
There's another. There is a product coming out that has got a rear keyboard. Mm. I saw it on the internet.
Yeah, they always flop. this is all according to VG247.
My favourite thing about this, I don't know if you've seen it on T3.com or wherever, it was the lovely picture of the product.
It looks like it's gone through an X-ray machine.
It's a bit blurry.
It's a bit blurry and it just looks awful.
In fact, it does. You're right. It looks like those scanners they've installed at airports.
Yeah.
Like someone's, you know.
So basically it was down a Sony employee's trousers and it's been like, revealed by him stepping
like,
through
know,
one
you
of
know
those.
You know when kind of lunatics see, like... take pictures of UFOs and there's nothing on it but they put a big red arrow pointing to things. It's exactly like that.
It's kind of weird blur. And also clearly the picture is of a kind of slide out PSPGO type thing.
Yeah.
And then apparently the word on the street is it won't be a slide out type thing.
No, it's just to throw you off.
What they've probably done is just used the frame of a PSPGO and shoved in some new electronics, but that's not necessarily what it's going to look like.
Also, supposedly that's what the PSP phone is going to look like.
That PSP phone that we saw.
Let's not get started on that. I thought Dan was going to cry when he was talking about that last time.
I was
time.
So depressed about all that. Okay, but look, if we take this at its word and the convincing photograph, this is all it's kind of the specs you'd want.
Well, we know it's coming anyway, don't we?
Yeah, the rear trackpad is intriguing though, isn't it? I mean,
anyone listening to this at home, pretend you're holding something.
Yeah.
And then pretend you're like playing with a rear trackpad. Tickling, it looks as if you're really sort of, weird.
If you're tickling it's,
if you,
it's
a
strange,
you mime it.
It's a strange activity, yeah.
But that's because you're holding nothing. Mm. Whereas of course if you're doing it in real life you'd be holding something.
Yeah.
That's the difference. I'm just explaining the difference between reality and imagination.
Between physical objects and not physical.
I'm glad we've established that. That's something to make clear.
But I feel like I'm over-explaining everything this week.
But even like, what applications will that necessarily have?
That's the whole point. You know,
maybe not
where
that
will
many.
This go?
Such a thing as too many buttons, too many inputs.
But it's good to... Well, it's always good to have a choice of inputs, isn't it? I mean, half the time you forget that like the DS has got voice control and things to an extent.
That's true.
But the
voice control is used for like, what, blowing?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
I mean, it's a bit rubbish, isn't it?
Having said that, two joysticks on it, definitely a plus thing, because obviously first person shooters, you need two joysticks. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of things like
that. Yeah, we're happy about that. The change of form factor back to the original sort of design, I mean, that's, I don't think the PSP Go has been exactly popular.
The PSP is a weird one because obviously it's got to be a certain level of power. People expect it to be really graphically good. And obviously the screen needs to be big enough to make that worth it.
Yeah.
But then also it needs to be kind of pocketable. So it's a kind of a hard thing to get right.
Yeah, it was a giant, wasn't it?
I mean, that's my sort of feeling, because the PSP's done quite well. I think people generally like it. I quite like it. But I never get mine out, to be honest. And it just seems to me that the 3DS pretty much blows away in every respect.
The rear trackpad, that could be a way of sort of making a touchscreen more usable in gameplay, if you think about it, because
it's never going to be very precise, though, is it? It's always going to involve sliding rather than touching, if you see what I mean.
Well, actually touching the screen on the front is quite difficult during gameplay, but if you've got your fingers around the back there already...
I'm not sold on touchscreen gaming at all.
I just see it ending up being used for little mini games within games, like unlock the door by doing, swiping your finger on the thing.
There's nothing about the... I mean, obviously, it doesn't go into a vast amount of detail, this PSP2 info that we have, but nothing about it makes me think, oh, that's going to be better than the 3DS.
I know, it's not, it's not like scream out loud amazing.
And now with the 3DS, with the graphics on it looking, so good compared to the DS, the PSP doesn't have that sort of thing. And you can say, okay, the screen's higher res, but if the screen's only, 6 or 7 inches across, how high def stroke high res can it possibly be? How much benefit can you possibly have? So
really needs to be like PS3 level graphics to kind of get off the ground, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's my problem with the PSP phone and the whole thing. I mean... If the screen's only that big, the graphics can never be that good. If you know, or they can be that good, but you can't see the
resolution needs to be like ridiculous.
Yeah,
high.
So I mean, okay, then maybe in times to come, you'll be able to wirelessly connect immediately to your telly. So effectively, you're carrying a PS3 around in your pocket, but then you're still playing on a big telly, and then so it's not
okay. Intriguingly, the PSP Go, another price cut. It started off the month at $225, went down to $159.99. Now it's $129.99 at the Sony store. It's nearly a £100 drop. They are trying to clear the decks.
It was grossly overpriced.
Well, it was.
Yeah, but also it really annoys me when kind of companies are about to supersede a product, how much they obviously market it loads more. Like the DS at the moment is seems to be more adverts.
Yeah, because of 3DS. That's kind of because it's Christmas, though.
But at any time, I remember when the PSP Go was first coming out. About a month before that,
loads of
adverts for the original PSP, because obviously they're trying to get rid of them. And obviously the people who aren't as up to date with
plumbed
things as
in,
us are going to...
Those non-podcast listeners out there.
Less savvy.
I feel really sorry for them, because they'll go, this was cheaper, and it's great, and the advert makes it look good, and they'll go out and buy it, and then like a week later there's a new one out. It's underhandedness. I don't like it. They should put on the advert, but we're bringing out a new one in a week.
But people should be aware of that.
That might damage sales.
You snooze, you lose in the world of tech.
Okay, Wii 2. This is what got us started on this. Nintendo America's Reggie Fils-Aim, he said this week, after we've reached an installed base of 45 million here in the US, we can have a conversation about the next generation. A, which says there is a next generation, and B, it says how far away we are from it, because they've sold in the US 30 million units. So we're two-thirds of the way to the next Wii.
It's a weird kind of bribe, that.
buy more, and then we'll make it obsolete.
It's expecting people just have hundreds of pounds. Go on then, I'll get an extra one.
As it gets to about 44 million, it's just going to dry up, isn't it?
People just talking to their mates, going, guys, if we all buy another Wii, they'll bring a new one out.
I think, obviously, there should be, there probably a Wii 2 will become much quicker than a PS3. No, we're on the PS3.
Yeah, PS4. I think you're right. Just because the amount of money, because the Wii 2 will be, it will be lower tech.
Well, also, no, yeah, ma- yes,
you
exactly.
Know, the processing
mainly
will, it?
Will be a lot cheaper. Well, I'm just assuming.
I think the Wii already has, and increasingly will seem out of date just because it's not high def and it's
The Wii. The Wii just needs to come up with a really interesting gameplay idea, whereas the the PlayStation 4 needs to kind of supersede the current generation of processors and have something that will last for the next 10 years. That's it'll take so much longer to
develop. The Xbox and the PS3 are just like races in kind of specs.
Yeah, or polygons, as we used to measure things in.
Yeah. And they still seem, but they're still, the PS3 in particular and the Xbox as well, really, still seems perfectly adequate for most people's requirement. I mean, a really high specs PC can handle more, you can handle better graphics, but yeah,
if you've got oodles of cash. T3.com has been asking people what they want in the Wii 2. Do you know what came out top? So I'll give you the
what
options.
What were the choices?
Yeah, more accurate motion controls.
Presumably high-def graphics.
That's the next one on the list. Market-leading HD graphics. More adult games, which I just presume they mean not kidsy ones.
That's not verbatim.
This is the poll.
Really? Because I wrote that and I didn't mean to say more adult games. Adult-oriented games.
Yes. 3D gaming or mind control gaming?
Knowing our readers, probably mind control game. No, but high def surely must have come out on top.
Well, okay, mind control was number two, and high def gaming number one.
I know our readers so well. Yeah, well, mind control gaming. Well, no thanks actually, but I mean, high def seems like I think everybody surely must realise that the Wii 2 is going to be exactly the same as the Wii 1, but with better graphics.
Well, possibly, but hold on.
Possibly with a slightly more, possibly with a sort of Kinect type element where it's detecting your whole body movement as well as your controller movement.
When it comes to 3D, I can't see that happening on a Wii, just because the Wii must be designed to go into every home, everywhere. And even if you're talking 12 months down the line, most homes aren't going to have a 3D telly.
But I don't think that rules out 3D compatibility.
Compatibility,
3D
perhaps.
Readiness, or whatever the expression is.
Maybe. But you see, they didn't go with HD readiness, did they? So I can't see them going with 3D readiness. Or maybe they'll think that was a mistake.
No, I wouldn't predict that about Nintendo, because Nintendo are always about the sort of the funny little gimmick or the kind of, you know, the kind of slightly magical thing. So, no, I could see them having it 3D ready.
I think,
but as you say, it can only be 3D because then it does require...
It's not very Nintendo.
I think that market-leading HD graphics, I think a lot of the people voting for that will probably... Yes, obviously it would need to be HD, but they really want extra brunt in the...
A bit more on it. I don't know.
Inside, just because there's a lot, I think there must be a lot of Wii owners who thought, oh, I'll get that, it's the cheapest console, it's good. And then there are games coming out for the PS3 and Xbox that just graphically kind of blow out of the water. And so developers perhaps aren't interested in doing it on the Wii because they can't. Because I remember Infinity Ward last year with Call of Duty, they said, you know, they can't do it as well on the Wii just because of. And there are a lot of people be annoyed by that.
Well, true. But then again, there must be an awful lot of people who have got a Wii and a PS3 and/or.
I'm now contemplating a Wii for the bedroom.
They shouldn't complain.
I'm thinking a Wii for the bedroom to get iPlayer on the bedroom telly. That's my next thought, console-wise. And also, you know, just to have a Wii.
Oh, there's so many ways of getting the iPlayer on your telly these days. Yeah. I can get it straight to my telly now. Firmware upgrade. Mm.
Look at you. Right. Much more to talk about. So let me say, here is the news. Turns out the big iTunes announcement was that they'd finally be able to sell the Beatles. Cue sudden e-Beatlemania, with 54 of the Fab Four's tracks hitting the top 200 downloads in 24 hours, and all 17 albums making the top 55. iTunes will have them exclusively well into 2011.
Meanwhile, in other Apple news, it says it's still on track for a November launch of the delayed iOS 4.2 after a tweaked version was sent to developers this week. And Taiwan Scooptastic Digitimes says three manufacturers have been lined up to deliver the iPad 2 to shops early next year.
Currently, even bigger than the Beatles is Call of Duty Black Ops. It's broken the global opening week sales records previously held by Modern Warfare 2, generating $100 million more than its predecessor by taking $650 million in its opening week.
But bad news if you're a Valve fan. Portal 2's release date has been pushed back again. It slipped from this side of Christmas to the 9th of February, to now not hitting the shelves until the week beginning the 18th of April.
Well, though we're on sales figures, Microsoft Kinect's been doing all right for itself, shifting 1 million units inside 10 days. The controllerless controller has also helped Xbox 360 sales double.
But Microsoft's not stopping there. Steve Ballmer's declared he wants to flog 5 million Kinects this year. There's even a warning from Microsoft's Don Matrick. If you want one by Christmas, he reckons you will need to get your order in by the end of this week.
The end of this week.
Yeah, run, don't walk to the shops.
Yeah, that's, in case you're wondering, that's the 21st of November.
So a shopping month before Christmas, it might be.
Yeah.
Or that's just a way of drumming up more
So cynical. I've never heard such bias. Never heard such anti-Microsoft bias.
I'm biased both for and against.
You're a Move fanboy. Get out.
Leave. I am quite surprised by how well Kinect's... Well, not surprised, but there was so much... From the game, you know, from the gaming people, hardcore gaming people, there was so much bad blood about Kinect before bad it all blood. Released.
Well...
Murders.
I think if recent history has taught us anything, it's that listening to what hardcore gaming people well, think is true. A complete waste of time.
Quite possibly.
I'm just surprised because of it. Like, it is quite expensive.
Yeah.
It seems to be doing great, like great guns. It's, you know,
there's something about it that sort of captures people's imagination. Yeah. All the retailers are saying, you know, it's not just this Microsoft.
I'm so tempted to get one just because I know on Christmas Day my dad will just that would be him for the entire day. You know, just opening the DVD drawer.
Yeah. Also the one
open.
Also the
just
one
sit there all day. Close. Open.
The one thing that everybody
you gotta
wants.
Come and see this. Come on.
The one thing that everybody wants is out now as well, which is a Kinect punchy fighty game.
Hey!
Ubisoft have got an ultimate e-fighting thing coming out.
There we are.
And that's surely what it's going to be best for.
But you don't need that at Christmas because you just have actual fights with your sort of relatives and in-laws and things. Waste of time.
Yeah, yeah.
Why waste good money?
There we are. Anyway, time to see what you've been tweeting to at T3DOTCOM as Duncan shuffles his papers.
Yes.
Two tweets from you. What have you got?
What have I got? Yes. Mm. Tide Whiteside. Alex Tide Whiteside. Mm. I don't know if that's... is he Alex Tide from Whiteside? Is Whiteside even a place?
Could it be TAD? Is that? Could be.
I don't know. Just... If only we knew the answers to these questions. Yeah, do you ever think?
Tune in next week.
Anyway, what does Alex have to say for himself?
He says the iPad app is fantastic. Oh. This is our iPad app,
yes,
I presume.
Yes.
just iPad apps.
I thought there were more than one.
I live in Nepal, and there's no other way I can get tea free except, of course, the podcast.
Hey!
Well, that's how to guarantee to get your tweet read out on this
just
podcast.
Just say the word podcast and T3.
And then Old Growler 1. Darren Gardner says, I got Kinect to the day of release, and I'm more impressed than I thought I would be, and a mate of mine has just gone away thinking the same.
Well, you see, the power of Kinect.
That's word of mouth, isn't it?
The people have spoken.
See, now, if he speaks to one more person,
yeah,
and they speak to two people, well, you
that's
know,
five people.
Where could this lead? Adam, Beatles.
that's not my surname. Simon Crofts, a.k.a. Simon Crofts.
Oh, original.
Fail.
Says, am I the only one who thinks this is very boring news? Can't you just put the CD in your Mac and add it to your library anyway?
Yeah, no, you're not the only person. I agree completely.
Yeah.
And particularly with the pricing they've got iTunes.
Listen to what David Hopkins has to say.
Yeah, David Hopkins, whose Twitter handle is HopkinsDavid.
See, success.
It's slightly more original.
That's clever.
Said, and they're blooming expensive too. $17.99 for the red or blue album. It's only $13.99 on CD from Amazon.
Yeah, and you get the box and
you get
physical
material.
And if your computer blows up or
I'm actually beginning to wonder if there are some people who don't realise that you can rip CDs or something, and they think the only way you can. I suppose
fast, though, isn't it?
Maybe the Beatles.
There is something
more than anyone
said,
else.
Though, for you know, you're on your iPhone. I'd like to listen to the Beatles and just
immediately
downloading it there and then.
Yeah, I don't know who doesn't really have either own themselves or have access to the Beatles CDs in some shape or form, even if it's just like their greatest hits.
No, but like, I was going to say, like maybe with the Beatles above anybody else, there are some people who do own the CDs, but feel they ought to buy the downloads as well. As mad as that may sound,
really,
I'm afraid so.
I have further news on the. I have further news on the Beef Queen Lord Otter relationship breakdown.
Oh, good.
Beef Queen says, Lord Otter, OMG. I knew nothing about our sad split till I heard it on the podcast. Gutted, but iPad makes up for it. Lord Otter, though, has...
they say romance is dead.
Yeah, has responded. The reason, he's sort of fleshing this out a bit now, the reason Beef Queen and I have parted is because I met a pawn. So has he. We both met pawns. It's a difficult time. So,
there we go, running gag.
Yeah, I don't know.
You have to have listened to last week's podcast to know what the hell that was about.
We have an in-joke.
That's the way it works.
We've made it.
Hurrah! Anyway, who has a gadget of the week?
Great piece of music.
Yeah. we all have. It's here. It's the 11-inch MacBook Air.
which I believe we did the MacBook 13-inch
so
while I was away.
We've got one smaller.
Well, this one's a lot more exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, I think. This is just one of those things. I defy anyone to have a little play with it and not instantly must have
weep.
It. You know?
This is
weep with joy.
This is Apple's netbook, but done slightly better than the netbook.
Well, of course, the hilarious thing, because I'm confused, because I remember Mr. Jobs, he did explain patiently to us morons how netbooks are terrible, a complete waste of time, and we should buy an iPad instead.
I think his words were...
This looks very much to me like an iPad.
I think his words were, but a netbook isn't good at anything. I think I've accurately...
that was pretty good.
Well, T3 editor Mr. Luke Peters... sent an email to Steve Jobs yesterday.
Eat your words, Mr. Jobs.
Basically just saying, could you define to us what a netbook actually is?
Yeah.
And, so I don't think he's had a response yet, okay. But we'll... maybe that's one for next week's podcast.
Holland, is that anti or pro Apple bias?
Oh, we're biased in every different direction you could possibly be.
I'm a bit stuck now. Okay, so this 11, it's better than a netbook though, isn't it?
Well, no, it is. It, no, no. Well, but is it better than a netbook? It's a very good netbook.
It's a very, very good network. Okay. It's a market-leading netbook, I think, is probably the best way to...
And it's a market-leading price as well.
that's the thing.
It's, I mean, the cheapest one is, I think, $849. But it is very much a get-what-you-pay-for type thing. The construction of it is really light, but at the same time feels sturdy and solid.
That's the genius
what about its innards, its grunt? Is it more powerful than your bog standard 299 laptop? With your Atom?
Yes, it is. Well, it slightly punches above its weight because of the solid state storage.
Yeah,
that gives it a bit of a sort of almost illusion of being faster. Well, not illusion, because it makes it faster than it would be were it having to access a hard drive every time you wanted to open an app or whatever. Mm-hmm. It seems to be able to multitask. Which is the phrase du jour, isn't it? This seems to be able to multitask perfectly happily.
I mean, I'd be tempted.
High-def video, it'll stream high-def video.
This kind of is where Mac OS X does come in, because you don't necessarily need to have the ultimate specs, and it will quite happily run everything without fault, really.
That's something, again, a lot of time people miss that when... I don't know if it's like an Apple hatred thing necessarily, or they don't understand it or whatever, but it's... A lot of the spec of their laptops in particular over the years has tended to lag behind Windows laptops.
But they don't.
And I think a lot of people think, well, therefore it must not run fast. But the thing is, OS X actually does, it gives it an edge.
Mm. What I really like about this is that one of the main things, selling points of the iPad for me was the kind of instant on-ness. Yep. This MacBook Air, not only, you know, does it turn completely on from completely off very quickly, but also you can put it into sleep and it will sleep for like 30 days on a single charge, and then obviously open the lid, it's on. Which to me obviously is more expensive, but it does everything the iPad does and more, especially when the Mac App Store lands.
So you like?
I very like.
Have we got a full review coming?
Yeah, it's online already.
Yeah, it's online now.
All right.
The only thing is, though, it is another one of those things that is, I think it is overpriced. That's the thing. It is a lovely thing, and if I could get a cheap one, I would get it. But I think at full price.
Wow. Look out for that Moses basket.
Yeah.
More bias next week.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Adam. Now, we love apps. Heck, we even have the original app chart. This week, T3 has been dishing out the 50 iPhone games you absolutely, totally, seriously must own. 50 is too big a number for us, so we've distilled it down to 3.
Yeah.
Dunk, your must-have.
My favourite at the moment, I think the game's all right as well, but what I like about Call of Duty Zombies...
Ah.
Wasn't it Nazi zombies? Anyway, there's certainly a level where you fight against Nazi zombies.
Yeah.
Very Wolfenstein.
Yeah, I've always loved that concept since Wolfenstein. It's like, Nazis on their own, not evil enough.
Nazi zombies, not frightening enough.
There's no grey area. Nazi zombies.
There's no grey area at all. There, they're bad.
Nothing camp about, nothing camp about these zombies.
Well, they're already dead, yes. So it's like a completely... If you're somebody who worries ideologically about violent computer games, which I don't, of course, but if you're the sort of person who does, you can be like, well, not only are these people evil genocidal Nazis, but they're also already dead because they're zombies. Yeah. And also, so you're not even really killing them, technically. Also,
you think, oh, it could be a Nazi who was just swept along by the whole movement, didn't really want to do it. But, you know, the issue's there. But no, they're a zombie. They just want to eat your brains.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
None of that good Nazi, bad Nazi thing to get over.
Completely guilt-free slaying.
Excellent, excellent.
And the game's all right as well.
Oh, good. Adam, what's been devouring all your time?
I played with this the other day, actually. It's a complete port of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater DOS from the PlayStation 1, which I love purely because it's a lot of nostalgia for me, because I wasted a lot of hours on that game when I was in my early teens.
I'm all for retro gaming.
Is it accelerometer powered as well, or is it?
It's got on-screen control. I think you probably can flick it into accelerometer thing.
Nice.
But the on-screen controls, they're okay. They're decent sized.
Are you as good as you ever were?
No, I've completely lost it. But it's brilliant. It's still one of those things where if you get a game in its entirety that was on the PlayStation 1 in 3D, still looking good on an iPhone. It's one of those things that still impresses me.
With all those games, I'd always master about two moves and just spend the entire game doing those two moves and never quite learning anything new.
No, I used to be quite the half pipe king. What do they do on skateboards? It was gnarly.
Rad.
It was well gnarly.
Excellent. Well, sticking with the retro theme, Sonic.
Do you grind?
Sonic 4.
That's a thing.
Sonic 4 made a way onto the iPhone. I've always loved Sonic because I was always a Sega person rather than a...
Which one was Sonic 4?
Nintendo one. It's the one with all the gold coins and the palm trees in the background with the blue sky.
That one. Very distinct from the other 97 Sonic games.
Okay, they are quite samey, but it's a bit of 16-bit on the iPhone.
Yeah,
which is,
I love
that. What I like. Because it runs even smoother on the iPhone than a PS1 port, I think, something like that. It's beautiful.
Is that accelerometer?
Yes, it is. And two levels. Lean forward. There's two exclusive levels on the iPhone version. So, if you've already played it.
Value for money.
Then you get those two extra levels, which will make all the difference, I'm sure.
Just hold down forwards and keep pressing jump.
To your $5.99.
Well, at least layout. You're getting something extra. Unlike, say, the Beatles thing, where you're not getting anything.
Ouch. You're getting less.
Less, if anything, yeah.
Yeah, well, that is about it for this week. Remember, T3.com has all the latest. T3 is on the shelves and on the App Store, and we're on iTunes every Friday. Till next week, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.